But no, I would miss my wife tremendously, though. Yeah, well, it's a special honor to have my grandma here this morning. Mary, thank you for coming. And you mean a lot to me in my life. And yeah, thank you for coming. And Harry and Anna Mae, thank you for coming as well. And so, yeah, it is an honor to be together. And hopefully we can worship the Lord together. I had to thank you, Brian, for your devotions. As I was trying to decide what my message should be, I was debating back and forth, and I knew God wanted me to share my testimony, but I didn't want to. And so, like your devotions this morning talked about humility and faith that Daniel had. And yeah, it takes humility. I don't like to talk about myself, and I don't think anyone else does either. It comes hard, probably, but it's something that when we share our testimonies, it unites people. Thank you, Jim, for your men's breakfast that you host at your house. And you know, the most special ones are when people share their stories, their life stories. And there's just a way that it connects, right? We are up against an enemy that wants to isolate us. And God wants to bring us together. And so when we share with each other our life's journeys, it brings us together as a group. And we can worship together. We can encourage each other. And so, yeah, I guess the title of my message is Testimonies. And so I just want to look a little bit into the benefits of sharing our testimonies a little bit before I go into sharing mine. So, yeah. It is when we share our testimonies, it is an incredible way to connect with fellow believers. It's an encouragement, but it's also a witness to unbelievers. When we share our story, what God has done through us, it can be a witness to unbelievers. When we share, we can better relate to each other. When a brother shares with me, or when you share with each other, you can get a closer bond. You can understand each other better. You know, I don't know what you're going through this past week, past month, past year. You don't know what I all went through, right? We really don't know. We can't see into each other's hearts. We can't see into each other's minds. But like we learned this morning, we know who can, and that's God. And God wants to bring us together. He knows everything about us, but we don't. We don't know each other. We know each other somewhat, right? But not entirely. I can't see into your heart. I can't see into your mind like God can. You can't see into my heart. You can't see into my mind. Yes, our actions show where we're at, but you can't really truly see everything. We need each other. But you know what? The hard thing is when we share our testimony, when we share our lives, sometimes it can make us vulnerable. It can make us look weak, especially when you're going through tough times. It's very hard to share with others what you're going through. Romans 12:15, it says, we are to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. How can you do that if you're not sharing with what you're going through with those around you? We must open up. Sharing our testimony is a powerful act of worship. It's a spiritual weapon against the devil, and it's also a way to point others to Jesus. We have great examples in the Bible. Many people, many authors wrote about what they were going through, their experiences. We are blessed to be able to read the Bible today. It's because of people that were willing to open up and share their lives. You know, two people that come to my mind when you think about people that shared a lot about their personal lives is David and Paul. Both men poured out their heart when they and encouragement when they faced tough situations. And they shared how God made ways in their lives. Psalm 73, it talks about how I will tell all of my deeds. You know, when we are close to God, we will want to share God's goodness with others, right? We will want to share God's goodness with others. I will share what God is doing in my life. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, it's very comforting when you can read through the book of Psalms. You know, one Psalms is like Psalms 23, and you can turn to that. We all know it, but I just thought we're going to read it together. As a child growing up, one memory I have is memorizing Psalm 23 back at Faith. And yeah, let's read that together. Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. What a comforting psalm. But it just, even though we might have it memorized, it's always good to read it and to remember what God has planned for us. You can even go as far as to say that when we don't testify what God has done in our lives, we are living in disobedience. God does not want us to bottle it up and keep it to ourselves, but he wants us to share the goodness to other people. You can turn to Acts chapter 5. Here we can see Peter and the apostles were before the council, before the high priest. Acts chapter 5, I'll read verses 27 to 32. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince, a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So here we can see that Paul and the apostles, they were not going to be silent. They witnessed Jesus giving up his life on the cross. They witnessed it all and what it meant to them. They knew what it meant, and they were not going to be silent. How about me? How about you? Are we purposing in our heart not to be silent about what God means to us, about what Jesus did for us? How real is it in your life? Of what Jesus did for you. Even if we're threatened, like Paul and the apostles were, are we willing to speak up to what Jesus means to us and what he has done for us? Like I said before, sharing what God has done in our lives, in our personal lives with other people, is a powerful way to spread the good news of Jesus. I had to think of another example. I was trying to think of an example of when people spoke up. I had to think of the Samaritan woman at the well. There in John chapter 4, you know, how Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. And what did he ask her for? A drink of water, right? And so her first response was what? Well, I can't
I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, I can't do that, right? But we know what happened, we know the story well, and how she served Jesus a cup of water, and Jesus revealed to her everything in her past life. And she was so excited about this that she went back into her community and she told everybody about her experience with Jesus, right? And through that experience, many, many people in her community believed in Jesus because of one woman willing to speak up. What about, you know, the easy thing for me is just be silent, right? If something good happens or Jesus done something through us or you've been part of something, we just have a natural tendency to stay silent. And so if the Samaritan woman would have stayed silent, there wouldn't have been a great revival there. Many people would have not believed in Jesus. It says thousands of people believed. Sharing our testimony can comfort others, knowing that we aren't alone in what we're going through. David in Psalms is a great example of that. It gives hope. When we share with each other, it gives hope and it gives comfort. Psalms 145, verse 4, let each generation tell its children of your mighty works. Sharing what God has done with your life is also a great way to teach the next generation. Are we sharing our experiences with our children? What you've gone through. You know, I also thought that Jesus often taught in parables and simple stories, right? What was the reason behind it? So people could understand what he was saying. And so likewise, when we were trying to teach our children, we should be doing it in stories. And what better way than personal stories and how God has moved in your life? Children, grandchildren, what a blessing it is to be able to teach the next generation. We are to do it with gentleness, with respect, and with love. And we are, in like 2 Timothy chapter 1, we are not to be ashamed of what God has done in our lives. It is not about ourselves, but it is about what God has done in us. It is about bragging on Jesus, bragging on God. And you might say, why is that? Because at the end of the day, could you, when you were born, could you pick if you were going to be a man or a woman? Anyone here decide on their own what they were going to be? Nope. God preordained that. Could you choose who your parents were? Could you choose where you were born? When you were born? God, once again, preordained all of that. Could you pick if you were born into a Christian family? Could you pick if you were born in Haiti or United States? Right now, U.S. is at war with Iran. Could you choose whether you were born in Iran or United States? Whether you were born into the Muslim culture, Christian culture? Could you choose if you were born with a family that had a mom and a dad that loved you? Or a broken family? I think all of us here would say we are tremendously blessed. All of us in this room today are probably here because of our parents, because of our upbringing. Why aren't we in jail? Why ain't I in jail? Why ain't you in jail? Why ain't I in the slums of Haiti? Why ain't I living in Iran, believing the Muslim, being deceived? It's because God put me here. God put you here. And so, when we share our testimonies, it's not about us. It's about God. We need to be doing it. We need to be sharing our testimony of God's goodness and what he has done for us. It is not an option. God has worked in our lives so that we can be an example to those around us. A couple years back, I serve on the board at Ephraim Mennonite School, and once a year we do like a board retreat, and it's not really, it is a fun time, but it's not like a fun time of, you know, it's actually a day of school for the board, and where we meet somewheres and we just spend the day, first start off with devotions and singing, and then we do like three or four different sessions of just on leadership and fathers and all that kind of stuff. So it's basically, at the end of the day, it's a day of school for the leadership team there at school. And it's always a blessing to be part of that. And the one year, the one section Phil Groff led out, which would be Kevin's brother, Kevin and Sheila, Levi and Emma's son-in-law and daughter. Kevin's brother, Phil Groff, if you don't know him, he works at Paul B. But he led us out in this one on sharing our testimonies. And it was basically, we all had blank white sheets of paper, pretty big ones. And you drew a line down the center of that paper. And the beginning was your birth date, and the end is today, where we were at then. And that line across the middle, I told my wife today, I called it the Mendoza line. And she's like, what is the Mendoza line? I said, well, when I share my testimony, you understand I enjoy baseball. And the Mendoza line is a batting average term. And it's that the Mendoza line is 200 average. And so if you're above 200, you're above the Mendoza line. If your batting average is below 200, you're below the Mendoza line. And as a hitter, you never want to get below that line. If you get below batting 200, you're not very good. Or it's just, And so in baseball terms, it's called the Mendoza line. But I was just using that to explain there. But sorry for that bunny trail. But anyways, so that line we drew, anything positive in your life, you wrote above the line. Anything negative or hard, you wrote below the line. And so as you thought through your life from child and you're going through, hopefully you're going to have a lot of this, right? That also is like a heartbeat, right? When you look at modern heartbeat, boom, 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 boom. It can be leading to an exciting life, right? Life. Others might have more of a straight line. You don't have as many ups and downs. But if you have a straight line on the monitor, that means you're dead, right? You're not living. And so if you're living life, you're going to have ups and downs, right? As like a heartbeat goes, your monitor goes, you're going to have ups and downs. And so that's part of this, what we did there in that section was you connect the dots as you go through life, and you're going to have positives in life and you're going to have negatives in life. And so we took 10, 15, 20 minutes and each person filled out their thing. And then we went through and each person kind of shared their testimony. And it was just it was a time of blessing to be together, and you could connect with each other. You always know when you work beside somebody, or you go to church with someone, or you serve with someone on a board for a number of years, you soon get to know what their strengths are, right? What their strong points, what they're good at, and all those things. And when you hear someone share their testimony, it's like, haha, now I understand why they were good at that, because they faced it as a child, or they went through that sometime in their life. And so it made them stronger, or it made them, they had talents in a certain area, because they faced it in life. And so, yeah, it was such a blessing to do that with each brothers. And I just really enjoy our time together, men's meeting that Jim has started in the past year here. And I think back, and the most rewarding times, Jim, are when people share their testimonies. So I'd encouragement. I think it would be great if each brother in our church could share their personal testimony. I remember when Dan talked about his past in the Brethren Church, he shared his upbringing. Levi shared his story. Maybe you just got to keep on asking brothers from our church to keep sharing. And I was debating whether if I wanted to talk about this. Then the ladies were talking about, they had their group going about when they go face hard times, or I'm not sure what anymore. But anyways, it just gave me encouragement that, yeah, this is what God wanted me to share this morning. So yeah, it definitely brings people together. And so as a board, it was only going to be like an hour and a half, 2 hour time slot, and it ended up taking like half the day as people started sharing, and it just became more, yeah, took longer. But it was a special time, and you can connect with people when people share what they've experienced in lifetime. So yeah, with all that being said, I'm going to share my testimony. Hopefully I can get through it without being too emotional. But yeah. So yeah, I would have been born in 1984. To some of you, I'm old. To some of you, I'm young. All depends where, right? But yeah, back in the 80s, it wasn't, I think last Christmas, was it Caitlin, you got me a mug that had all the, or someone got me a coffee mug that said, if you were born in 1984, I should have brought it along, gave all the list of what was popular in 1984. but yeah, it makes me feel old. But anyways, 41 years old and still living, right? God is good. So yeah, I would have grew up on a farm. Most of you know me, so it's not going to be anything too earth-shattering. But I grew up on a farm with a baseball field. Not everybody gets that opportunity. And I guess that's where I learned to enjoy playing baseball and softball. But yeah, I'll share more of that later on here. I would have went to school. I would have went to Ephrata Mennonite from kindergarten to third grade. And then my parents decided to try homeschooling. So now I homeschooled from fourth to eighth grade. And we homeschooled with my cousins, Melvin and Janet, their children. I would have homeschooled with Troy and the triplets, Debbie, Denise, and Deanne, and then some of my siblings. And so my dad always had a teacher. So we had different teachers, had our own private teacher come in. And out there in our house in the sunroom, we had a corner set up, and that's where we homeschooled. And yeah, we were out by lunch. Have a lot of good memories from that with my cousin Troy. A lot of times he would either stay at my place afterwards and we'd have fun in the afternoons, or I'd go over to his house in the afternoons. So yeah, we had a lot of good memories. I don't know, he used to live on the Shenick Hill there, where anyone remember Hall's Mini Mart there, where there's a car lot there now. Yeah, we used to go down there and just bebop around in there for afternoon. Maybe they got tired of us, but but that was yeah. And we would ride a sheep and try to catch sheep. We had a lot of good memories. But yeah, I would have homeschooled up to eighth grade. And then for high school, I went to Terry Hill. And so that was a lot of good memories at Terry Hill. I went with Dan and Wendy, same class. And so yeah, that's where I met my wife, Kelly. And so, yeah, a lot of good. That would have been my schooling. For church, I would have went to Crawls Mennonite Church, where my grandma still goes. I think we would have went there till I was like 10 or 11, probably. Something like that, to like third grade. And then we went to Faith. Then we started going to Faith. I remember that. We went visiting a bunch of different churches then, trying to decide where to go. I think one other one I remember is visiting New Covenant. And, yeah, we ended up going to Faith. And I would have went to Faith till I was a teenager, probably around 18, till Word of Life started. So that seems like a long time ago, but was it 22 years now, is it, here at Word of Life? Anybody remember? Yeah, something like that. 23 years, is it? Yeah, so anyways, that seems like a long time ago, but it goes fast. Time moves fast. But yeah, I've been blessed to go to churches that teach the Word of God. And yeah, it's been a blessing. So those are the three churches, Crawls, Faith, and here at Word of Life is where I would have attended. At home, we would have grown up on a farm. We worked hard. My dad taught me how to work. And he also started a construction business. So between farming and building, yeah, there was a lot going on. We also had a family cabin up in Union County. When I was young, I remember going to the cabin a lot and having a lot of good memories up there. Yeah, I would have had a great childhood. I was blessed. My dad was always an outgoing guy, and he always his comment was either be company, either have company or be company. Always. And so we either had someone at our house or we were going somewhere. We never had a downtime. We were always going, and yeah, spend a lot of times with friends and family. Lots of rook and lots of beef sticks growing up. Yeah, a lot of positive memories. We also, growing up, we often had a homeless person living with us at some point in time. George Kramer lived with us for many years. Keith, another one. And we had an old milk house out there in the barn that he turned into a little apartment. And so, yeah, George I probably would have the most memories with when I was a kid growing up. We would, supper time, we would take him a meal. After we were done eating, we'd take turns and take a meal out, and then you'd sit out there, and he had his little TV there beside his bed, and it was, I always remember, I was always hoping that, he was always watching the news, and I was hoping that the sports would be coming on, and enjoyed seeing what was happening with the Phillies or the Eagles or whatever season it was. But yeah, I just remember, it was just, yeah. George would have been a drunk, a homeless drunk that lived in his car. And yeah, my dad would have gave him a place to live. And I remember, I don't know if it was once or twice, I remember they'd go, there was a local bar back there in Blainsport, and if they knew he was in there, they'd go in there and get him back out. So those are some memories I had. And so yeah, George took a liking to us boys. I grew up with four other boys. I was right in the middle. I have three older brothers and one younger brother. And so we enjoyed talking with George. And he used to always buy us baseball cards. That was just something that I think he liked to do. He'd often come back with a pack of baseball cards for each of us. And so, yeah, that was a nice memory I had from him growing up there. Yeah, then also at the cabin in about, I think it would have been like 1996 when I was about 12 years old, I would accept Jesus into my heart. And that happened up at our cabin. I remember it was a group of people up there. I think we had friends. I can't remember who it all was anymore, but I think I was finally old enough to sleep with with my older brothers and their friends. And so, yeah, it was one evening we were getting ready for bed, and I don't know, one of the guys started talking about what he had learned about witchcraft. And, yeah, they were talking about, I can't remember anything, but about some of the powers that they heard happens and how people, yeah, just the different things that can happen with witchcraft. And I was scared. And I remember going back down to my parents. And, yeah, that night at the bed, invited my mom, helped me. So, special moment of inviting Jesus into my heart. So yeah, that happened at the cabin, and yeah, many other fun memories there that we had. Like I said, as I grew up, we had a ball field there and we played a lot of baseball. The neighbor children, we get together up there and we played a lot of pickup baseball games. 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, you ever think about how you could play baseball with like 5 or 6 people? Well, we did a lot of it. We'd throw the ball up to ourselves and hit it ourselves. And yeah, just have a lot of fun memories of growing up. There was also a church league there. And the Ephrata Church League used it, I don't know, at least 3 times a week. And I always enjoyed going up there and watching them if I could. And they had a snack stand there. And I always remembered they had a little jar of red Swedish fish, and that was my favorite. Maybe, Mariah, that's where you get your love of candy from. I love going there with 50 cents or something and buying. You could buy a penny of fish, and you can go there, whatever. Remember getting 20 of them, 25, 50 fish, and filling a little bag up and watching them play softball and eating fish. It's a fun memory I have. So yeah, Like I said, we worked hard. I had a good childhood. I can't really, growing up, I can't really think of anything negative that happened. I just, if I'd have to say, when I look at my testimony, if I filled out that sheet with the line through it, I'd say it looked like almost like a Z. It was all good in the beginning. Like it just stayed up. And I can't really have any really bad memories at all. Like life was good. I was blessed. In 2000s, I met Kelly in high school. In the summertime of high school, I worked on the framing crew. I go out with the framing crew and build houses. I thought that's what I wanted to do. I thought I'd enjoy that. But after a couple years of doing it, I kind of got tired of it. Going to the same job site every day for weeks on end and framing up, putting wood together. I pumped a lot of lumber around. Instead of having high lifts today, I would carry in all those heavy floor joists in off the pile and set them up on saw horses to get them up to the second floor. And all those heavy plywood sheet, floor sheeting, those inch thick 4x8 pieces of plywood that were heavy, carry them in one by one and set them up on saw horses and set them on the floor. Yeah, worked hard. And I did that during high school for the summer and also helped on the farm, feed steers. And yeah, eventually farming took over and I enjoyed that more. So that's what I do today, feed steers. And in 05, after 2 years after we graduated, got married. And yeah, life is good. And then I would say, yeah, I played a lot of softball during those years. Probably something that I really enjoyed was playing softball, enjoyed hunting. Enjoyed hockey. Those were things I enjoyed doing. I played baseball I started when I was 7, played for the local team there in town. It was funny. I just met an older guy. I forget what event it was, where they had a community event. Remember the Roseboro funeral home? How his wife was killed. And they have every year they have a fundraiser for that, for needy children, for children that come from abused families so that need help. And so every year they have a fundraiser, and I usually go with my mom and my brother. We go every year if it works. And there was a lot of people from the Reinholds area there, community. And I met talking to an older guy, and here he used to coach my oldest brother Danny back in the day. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm the one that, he said, if you want to thank your dad for letting you play baseball, he said, I'm the one who got used to play baseball, he said. He said he was a coach, and he said your dad wasn't going to let you play. And he said, I promised him that there's going to be no foul language, and it's going to be clean. And so he said he finally left his old Danny play. And so, yeah, we all played ball. And mom, you probably have a memory of taking us to, that's all you did probably in the summertime. Take us to ball games, drop us off. But yeah, I played, yeah, it was a lot of good times. When I think back on my childhood days up until I got married, yeah, a lot of good times. And as I even got older and played softball, my dad, mom, they liked to come. And my dad especially wouldn't miss a game if he could help it. And it's just a good special bond that we had together. And then in like 08 is when my dad's health journey would have started. And this is probably where, when I say the Z, it comes down. And the last 10, 15 years has definitely been harder. And it's definitely when you can look back today and you look back over those last 10, 15 years is when I would say God, you know, moved, or God worked in my life. And you look back and you say, God is good. He is faithful. And God has a plan for each one of us, and he allows you to go through things to sharpen you and to make you into who he wants you to be. So in 08, my dad would have had a heart attack. That didn't really, I remember it, but I don't think it really had like a negative. I mean, it was scary in the moment, but they put a stent in, and he soon healed up from that, and life went on as normal. But then in like 2015 is where he really started to struggle. And it was more, I would call it like an emotional roller coaster, up and down, like your heartbeat. And when you look back over that, yeah, just a lot of ups and downs with his health. He would struggle with something, and then he would be healed. God would heal him, and he'd be getting strong again. Then it seemed like something else would happen. And it was just, yeah, it's like going on a, everyone ever been on a roller coaster before? Most people go to have been on a roller coaster. Number one thing with a roller coaster, it takes you straight up and then drops you straight off. And then you do loops and rolls and whatever else in between there. And I just, when I look back, it's just like the past 5 years of his life, it's just, that's what it felt like, of the ups and downs. But through all that, I think God really drew me closer to him. Especially in 2019, when he started going on dialysis. He had kidney failure, and that was really hard on him. He struggled with that, and I was crying out to Lord, how can I help? And yeah, it was, he would go from, what was it, early mornings, I think it was. He'd like to go at like 3, 4 a.m. And I started, I was just like, what can I do to help you, Dad? And it was through those times that I'd get up 3 a.m. and just pray. And spend time talking to God, spend time on my knees, and I just, yeah, spend time in his word for like two, three hours. When I look back, those are real times in my life that God spoke to me. And he talked to me about what's to come. And where I'm at today, I look back on that, and I just can't help but praise God for taking me through it, even though it's not fun in the moment. And it's hard. But God is faithful. And I remember, like, I came across, like, I started studying Anabaptist history. And I came across out at SMBI, I forget what his name was either more, but he did like a whole study on Anabaptist history, had a class out there. And I started watching all those. It was on YouTube, watching all those runs. And it just, it was a time that God definitely drew me closer to him during those moments. And I wasn't perfect. I didn't do it every morning. He went three days a week, and I tried those mornings when he went to get up at 3 o'clock and spend 2, 3 hours with God. And I did it most times, but I wasn't perfect. And it was just a real time in my life when I think God molded me to who he wants me to be. And I should probably still continue to do that. I don't anymore. Not unless I have to. But when God brings trials into your life, that's what he's doing. He wants to talk to you. And he wants to grow you and make you into who he wants you to be. And then in 2020... is the year he would have passed away. He had sepsis and a stroke while he was in Florida. That was another hard thing. It's hard to look into a loved one after a stroke and they don't remember. But God did bring healing back to him that he could remember and that he could communicate with him. And so praise God for that before God called him home. And it's just, yeah, from 2015 to 2020, it was just a hard time in life. A lot of emotions. But when you look back, God is faithful. God is good. And he carries you through no matter what you're going through. God will carry you through it.
Thank you, Brian.
So yeah, then, I don't know, a couple years later, after he passed away, another highlight moment, I had to teach Sunday school. Brother Matt had me teach at, I forget what their church is called, Mountain Spring. And it, the lesson of it was learning from the past. And yeah, I'm happy my grandma's here. I didn't even tell them what I'm sharing on this morning. But I'm like, well, learning from the past, what should I do? And I thought, you know what God told me? Go visit your grandpa and grandma and see what you can learn. And so as I was studying for that lesson, I stopped in at Robert and Mary, my grandparents, and I asked them, I said, I'm here to learn. I'm teaching a Sunday school lesson. What can you teach me on learning from the past? And there's two things, one from each that I remember yet as we talked. And my grandpa would have shared, his number one thing was perseverance. And I can still remember him saying perseverance. And my grandma, her thing was, bloom where you've been planted. She said, my mom always taught me to bloom where I've been planted. And so in the last 5 years, that has played a tremendous role in my life. You know, when we, another tough thing that happened in our lives was 2 years ago here at church. And I look back that I had that time that I sat with my grandpa and grandma. And I'm blessed. Tremendously blessed of the time of the, yeah, just tremendously blessed for that feedback that I got from them, and it has meant a lot over the past couple years. And then here recently being ordained, you know, I'm probably one guy that doesn't take change easy. Like some can. I like things to remain the same. I get used to doing something, and I enjoy doing it that way, right? And so that's another adjustment of becoming deacon here. But once again, God is good, and he makes ways. He opens doors, and he makes it possible. God is faithful, and he's always going to be faithful. Right, just like he was to Daniel. So yeah, sorry to get emotional, but God works in our lives, and he does it all differently. And through me, I would say he worked most through the difficult journey that I had with my dad's health journey. We worked together every day, and it was a blessing. And I'm blessed that I had a dad that loved me and taught me to work. And, you know, I wouldn't be farming today if it wouldn't be for him. And there's a lot of things in life to be thankful for. And so, if I can make it a challenge to young people, listen to your parents, listen to your grandparents, gain wisdom from them, and someday you're going to be tremendously blessed if you listen and obey. You will be blessed beyond reason by God if you honor them. And you know, all of us, each one of us, has a story to tell. God created us with a purpose. Just like yesterday in our men's meeting, he shared there from Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's before he even created you in the womb, he knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. And so God created us all in his own image with its own unique purpose in life. And he made us all differently. Just like each snowflake that is different, he created us all different. And he put you right where he wanted you. You are here for exact reason. You were born and you're living and your age is exact reason he ordained you before he even created you in the womb. He knew you. We all have a story to tell and how God has worked in our lives, especially us that maybe are middle age to older age and you have more experiences in life. You've been through more. We have a tremendous responsibility to share that story with the next generation. Are you sharing it for God's honor and glory? Are you passing it on? Are you sharing it with your neighbors, to the lost people? We all have a purpose, and we all have a plan from God. We are to have trust and faith in God's plan for us. Let's not look to other people and say, well, his story's better, or his life is more important. It's not. All of our lives are important. From the least to the greatest, all of our lives are important. We are all made in the image of God. And sometimes life, no matter what we're going through in life, whether it's on the mountaintop and life is great, or if it's in the bottom of the valley and you're going through a tough time, God is faithful and he will carry you. This week, I was getting ready to chop barley and I climbed the top of the silo, got the unloader up, and I got up to the top of the silo and opened the door, and here's a bunch of pigeons in there. And they often live on top of the silos. And right there on the edge was a pigeon nest with little pigeons in it, right? And they're on literally the silo wall is like 4 inches thick. And right there are on the edge. Do you think they realize that where they're living in the moment? Like if they scooted 1 inch, they'd fall right off and drop 100 feet and die, right? Do you think that's in their mind? They're living in fear? No. All birds have nests high in trees, yet they keep reproducing and living, right? Because they're designed by God. And that's where they're designed to be born and raised, is way up in the air. And as I watched those pigeons just for a couple minutes, I was waiting for the unloader to get up. They constantly keep coming together. They're just, it's like a gravity force in the middle of their nest that they just keep, if one bounces out, they keep diving into each other and just keep rotating around, working together, and they stay closer. If that force was reversed and they go out, like their nest, it's not high. They could easily go right out and fall 100 feet and die. But they don't. They're going to stay living there, right? And so God created them that way, that they can, as little ones, they can be 100 feet in the air in this little nest and survive. And so to me, sometimes we as humans can think, and we look around us and we think we're in a tough spot or a tough situation, or we're about ready to fall 100 feet and die. But God has everything in control, and we just have to put our trust and faith in him like those pigeons do 100 feet up in the air, that they will survive and they can grow and prosper. So yeah, that was just something that as I watched those pigeons, it was just a reminder that no matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at in our stage in life, to put our trust in the Lord. He will make a way and He will carry us through. And we all have a testimony. We all have a story. Let's not be bashful. Let's share it with those around us. When we open ourselves up and make ourselves vulnerable in sharing our stories, we can connect with others, we can encourage others, and we can be a blessing. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for all your many ways that you bless each and every one of us with. Father, we just want to say thank you, and we'll have grateful hearts and what you mean for each one of us. And we say thank you for creating us in your own image and making us all uniquely different. Father, lead us and guide us. Father, help us to see and learn what you have for us in life. And Father, may you lead us and guide us. May you give us wisdom. May you give us knowledge as we live life, Father, as we look to live for you and to pass it on to the next generations and to be a witness, Father. Help us to be able to open up and to share what you have done in our lives. Father, help us, especially younger ones, to open up your hearts to you, Father, and that you could work in their lives, Father, and that as, no matter what age we are, that we're willing to allow you to move. Father, lead and guide us, direct us, show us the way, and help us to be an encouragement to each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.